Hola y bienvenidos a esta presentación especial del podcast de La Media Inglesa. Mi nombre es Ander Iturralde, como la mayoría ya sabréis, y hoy tenemos una entrevista en el programa. Hoy es una entrevista y, como habréis notado en el título de este episodio, es una entrevista en inglés, y por eso quería hacer esta pequeña intro antes de pasar con la entrevista en cuestión para que todo el mundo se pueda situar un poco mejor. Es una entrevista que llevé a cabo allá por el mes de noviembre con Marcus Speller y Luke Aaron Moore de The Football Ramble. ¿Qué es The Football Ramble? Pues es uno de los primeros podcasts sobre fútbol del mundo. Hablan principalmente sobre la Premier League y comenzaron haciéndolo allá por 2007, y en este, su 12º año de existencia, protagonizaron no su primera gira de actuaciones en vivo, pero sí su primera gira transcontinental, efectuando en este caso 4 shows en Norteamérica, 2 en Nueva York, 1 en Toronto y el que cerraba la gira en Chicago. Y es allí, en Chicago, donde tuvimos la oportunidad de reunirnos y llevar a cabo la entrevista, la cual fue un absoluto placer poder hacer. Pero además de en audio, este podcast va acompañado por un artículo escrito por mí en castellano, en español, traducido esencialmente en lamediainglesa.com, así que si quieres escuchar la entrevista o solo leerla o ambas cosas, el artículo está en la descripción de este podcast y ahí puedes acceder a él. Es algo en lo que he estado trabajando durante bastante tiempo, más tiempo del que probablemente haya sido necesario, pero estoy muy orgulloso de la entrevista como tal, así como del artículo, de cómo ha quedado todo, y espero que todos los que estáis escuchando disfrutéis de la entrevista, así como también del artículo, si os suscita interés. Y nada más, como decía, espero realmente que lo disfrutéis. Estos son Marcus Speller y Luke Aaron Moore. So I'm here with the Football Ramble guys, the big stars of the evening. Luke Aaron Moore and Marcus Speller. Well, we're in Chicago.
Oh, Christopher Speller.
Yeah.
Sorry?
You said his middle name.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Christopher. Oh, yeah. Okay, didn't know that. Nice little fact. We're in Chicago. Have you guys had deep dish pizza yet? You know the important questions?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Have you had deep dish pizza?
We have, yeah. We had one earlier, and I don't think I'm going to eat for another 2 days.
Understandable. Yeah.
Yeah.
You kind of need like a forklift to eat it.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. It was incredible.
Yeah.
It was something else, and I'm glad I did it. Never again.
Okay.
Sam brought me some back from the restaurant, brought some back to the hotel, but I haven't actually eaten it yet.
Okay.
I'll report back.
Yeah,
they heard you. A fairly sort of troubling review from Mark.
No, I've been a bit harsh there. It was good, but you know, when you get a bit older, you've got to worry about the calories, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
get that.
Yeah, because I heard you and Pete on your show talking about pizzas in New York and stuff, and like
New York's a much thinner base, isn't it?
Yeah.
We did a New York fold.
Yeah, the most common here is actually thin, but like the spectacular one, the like signature is the deep dish, which even most commonly is the thin one, because if not, people just roll out of the restaurant constantly because of how full they are. Who would you have guessed you would have closed the tour, being interviewed by someone in Chicago for a Spanish audience?
Well, we're happy that you're here.
Yeah, I mean,
because we've just been sat around on our own otherwise.
Absolutely, yeah. No, we appreciate it.
Yeah, no, same here for the time. Does it feel at all surreal or strange or in a way natural to get here, like after 12 years to transcontinental? Tour, does it feel like natural in the sense of like it's been so gradual, so much work over the years? How does it like kind of feel to be here, like the last day of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Gradual, organic, I suppose, would be the word. I mean, what would it be, sort of 12 and a bit years ago, Football Ramble began on MySpace. You don't go from one, you know, sitting here being interviewed by your good self about to go on stage in Chicago. So it has been a gradual process, as you say, and building on the little victories has been very important, and doing live shows and whatnot over in England and, you know, Scotland and Ireland and Norway was probably the furthest one away, which was a one-off, but it's been brilliant over in the States and Canada, and we've had a little while for it to sink in, which doesn't make it any less brilliant, of course, but that makes it feel a bit more organic and gradual.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, that's great.
I mean, it's not gone from us just doing it at home, not really knowing what we're doing, to being
on. You weren't an overnight success from starting in your kitchen.
It's a process, right? It's a process.
So. Yeah, no, that's great. I did want to, touching on that, I did want to ask you guys are the first football podcast to go transcontinental.
Yeah.
How does that feel, like kind of beating the other like big guns, so to speak, to the punch in a way, being like the first ones to come over here and such?
It feels great because they're all absolute bastards.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
If you think there's something worse than bastards.
Absolute bastards.
Yeah. I knew what he wanted to say.
I couldn't bring myself to say that.
No, but it's good. It's cool to do that. I mean, we get correspondence from people who listen over here, and so our people we work with were able to get an American promoter and someone to make it possible, then we wanted to do it. I mean, it's like a natural thing, and we're really appreciative that people have come out to see us and they're going to do so again tonight. It's great.
Absolutely. Another thing I did want to ask, kind of like with the competitive podcast space. How did you guys, like a couple of years ago, what was it to observe the departure of James Richardson and Ian McIntosh from the Guardian Football Weekly and to start up the Totally Football Show? I'm just curious if it affected you guys anywhere, like, or just from the outside looking in, what did you make of it? You kind of know all each other in a way to a point, not maybe specifically everyone, but I don't know if it was anything. It's like have another big competitor there.
I think if we knew that there was going to be a top quality host available for transfer. Just kidding. It didn't really affect us. It's good because lots of people were suddenly talking about football podcasts. So I suppose by kind of osmosis, we would have got some pickup from that. Because anything that's good PR for the industry is probably going to be good for us. So other than that... I don't know about Marcus, but I don't really have an opinion on it.
I think that there was a bit of beef between Football Weekly and the Totally Football Show.
Yeah,
we were just carrying on playing our game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So
I want to speak to Pete and Jim as well.
Yeah.
So just walked in. So
that's great. And also with the like landscape, because like in the last few years, you've been doing it for 12, obviously, but in the last few years, a lot of podcasts have come about and such. And I do like I have heard from time to time like. That it's overcrowded and such, and it always felt to me that kind of terms always felt like a fancy way of complaining about how competitive it is. I don't know if you have any thoughts on like how it's evolved or how many people are doing it, or
it's a very saturated market. I mean, there's an awful lot of football podcasts out there.
Yeah,
it depends. You know, is that good or bad? I suppose if you're starting a football podcast, then sometimes it might be difficult to find, you know, to get people's attention in such a space. However, more people are tuned into football podcasts. So you could spin it around and say, well, actually, you're more likely to get noticed than you were, say, 10 or 12 years ago when you had to explain to people, younger people, what a podcast was. So really, it's what you make of it as with anything, I suppose. I think it's more important now to find your niche. I think if we came along now and we just did a general kind of football show like we do, it might be a little bit more tricky. But I think one of the things is now the marketplace is very busy. People now look at you for 2 seconds and go, what are you about? What are you talking about? And if you don't quickly tell them what it is, this is us, this is our voice, we're going to talk about this. I think that's very important for people to do that.
Absolutely.
I think if you're starting these days, you probably need to have a niche. Give people a real reason to listen because you're different to the others for some reason. Or what that niche is. I'm not sure, but...
I can think of like examples like that. Like, I know Stats Bomb guys do like a one like very through analytical like kind of perspective and stuff. The guys that do the Not Top 20 podcast, it's championship and below and stuff. And kind of like reflecting on how the landscape is and like all these years, what would you guys say is the key to your longevity to be like 12 years and now you're going transcontinental and like now you're still like as popular as ever and like what do you think has been one of the key factors to really keep that pace and really keep growing in that sense?
It could be continually and constantly as drunk as possible. I think Luke often says this.
I don't know why I'm stealing his words. He sat just there. I won't say that, but I will say we always turned up and we always did it. People knew where they could get us at what time. We were consistent with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just always turning up and always being there in case people want to give you a listen. Do you know what I mean? Like
it's important, I think, that people know you're always going to be... The show's always going to be there, so when they rely upon you, like first of all, when we first did it, it was once a week, and then it was twice a week, Monday and Thursday, whatever, and now it's every day. We started doing it every day this season, and we haven't missed the show yet, so people, we kind of follow through on what we said we're going to do, and it's a reliability thing. And mm-hmm. I think if people are commuting in and out of work, and they are used to listening mm-hmm. to your show or whatever, that they want you to be there, and we've always been kind of consistent in that.
Yeah. Absolutely, no, I totally agree. And as someone myself that hosts a podcast about English football and Spanish, like that's what we do here, kind of the same kind of realm as you guys, I wanted to ask, what is that most excites you about doing the podcast, about the whole idea of the Football Ramble?
That's a very good question. I think that something I love is that when you see something ridiculous or something brilliant happen in football, you think, excellent, I can't wait to talk to the lads about that or mm-hmm. listen to what they've got to say.
Yeah.
And the fact that people listen into that
mm-hmm.
and enjoy that or respond to that, whether it be on social media or whatever, I think that's a real privilege that people listen to it. But I think that's, you know, we love football, and so when something brilliant or stupid happens, you can't wait to get down the pub, or you can't wait to see your mates and go, oh my goodness, did you see that 3 goals he scored, or did you see that ridiculous moment? Well, it is essentially that, but you're broadcasting it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it taught me, is to...
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Absolutely. I completely agree. Like what he was mentioning, like that's something you get really excited about, or happens in football, they kind of like talk about it. It happened with me, I remember a few weeks ago, the whole Colleen Rooney and Rebecca Barty thing. I'm really like in that niche, so not here, like in the streets.
I was going to say, yeah.
But I'm really in submersed
Fox
in that.
News, you know.
No, I don't think it did.
Colleen responds, you know.
Well, maybe so, and like local news in Washington, D.C., because it's Wayne Rooney and stuff, right. But like, no, dang, it's just me that I'm like really submersed in it. Yeah, that was one of the things that like really, was really, like, really interesting. Listeners were like really expecting, like in the comments section when we posted the show, like, well, we were all waiting for like for you guys to talk about it and stuff, like this huge thing on the previous Thursday.
But when that kind of story breaks, it's fun to know that that kind of material is there.
Right. Yeah,
because the last thing we want, the type of show we do, the four of us, is to have to talk about like proper football or whatever. I mean, we're happy to do that, but it's fun to talk about the fun stuff.
Yeah, of course,
So it's good when we get that kind of gold content. But, I mean, from my point of view, to answer the original question, I'm a bit of a radio and podcasting geek, really. I like mm-hmm. audio and like listening to it, so I like making it as well. So it's just a fun job to have, really.
And on that note, I did, like, you both have respective other podcasts that aren't football related, kind of outside of the Football Ramble universe. You have the Luke and Pete show. How does that, does the variety help you at all to keep fresher for, like, not just the football, but kind of both of them, kind of going back and forth, kind of having the two different, both are a podcast, but like different, completely different.
It's good for your skill set to do different things, for sure. And one thing you do realize is that after doing this for 12 years with the same people, you might have other ambitions and other things you want to do in other areas. And so that's cool to kind of scratch those itches, but it's also good to have kind of experience and flexibility in broadcasting or working in different formats. Like Marcus does a lot of live on stage work and stuff.
Yeah.
And Pete does a lot of radio, Jim does a lot of stand up, I do a bit of radio. So we all do different things. And I think that can only help you to become better at what you do, because you're gonna gain a lot more experience in doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he has the Luke and Pete show, and you have answerable questions with questionable answers.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. I think as Luke says, to do a variety of stuff is good. Oddly, years and years ago, I, for however many months it was or years, very intermittently, did a tiny, teensy little dipping of the toe with open mic stand-up.
Uh-huh.
And it would appear that the great British public aren't ready for me yet.
You're ahead of your time.
I think that must be it. But
I think, but doing that was one way of sort of going, what is my voice? What is, like, you can't be somebody that you're not, if you see what I mean. Well, unless, unless it's a complete act, of course. But there's always a piece of you that's on stage or behind the mic, and so on and so forth. And little things like that, I think help, as long as he's doing a variety of things. You know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I completely agree. Yeah,
the old adage of just, you know, sort of be yourself. Yeah. You might be an exaggerated version of yourself, or you ham up sort of certain bits and pieces, of course.
Yeah.
But I think that's it, really. It's such a cliched and middle-of-the-road thing to say, but I think doing those things help finding out who you are and what your voice is behind a microphone.
Yeah, no, absolutely, because when I do it, like, I'm much more hyper-animated than I usually am in the regular life, but I'm hosting and trying to keep it at fast pace and at high energy and all that, so I can totally relate to that. And also, this season, as we, I think we touched on before, you guys started doing daily, basically almost the whole week, 6 days out of the seven. What sparked that decision, and what do you think of the results so far, just a few months in?
Well, we're happy with it. I think it's obviously up to other people to decide whether they like it or not, but... Mm-hmm.
I like it quite a bit.
I appreciate it. Part of it is innovation in the area. So, as you mentioned already, there's a lot of different options. So, we want to give people different types of shows and different opportunities throughout the week to listen. But also, it's good to not stand still. It's good to make sure you keep doing different bits and pieces and different things. And there's different ideas that are floating around for a while.
I can imagine.
And we had friends and people that we liked, who we wanted to work with, and they were keen as well. So it kind of just fell into place that way, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speaking of that, I saw yesterday the video you posted on Twitter, where it's you and Andy Brassel on the phone. I thought it was really funny.
That was Sam's idea.
That was good.
Was Sam. Oh yeah, great. Yeah, yeah. No, it was a really, really, like, fun idea. Like, I thought it was really, like, for short and, like, fast as it was made. I thought it was, like, really
hearing
fun.
That, Sam. Picking up your work, mate.
Yeah.
Literally, he just told me what to say, and I said, "I'm going to give you credit," but it's actually Sam.
Yeah. So I thought, yeah, that was done, like, with Lars and Sivertsen and James Harkas in the studio. So I'm sure they. I haven't had time to listen to that. So yeah, but yeah, I'm sure they did great. And on the, like, the subject of going daily, and also with Patreon, I thought that was very a fascinating thing to add on to everything. Like, when guys or, like, yourselves get, like, to that level kind of popularity, they don't really, like, add something like that. You just kind of make it work with what you have. How did the whole concept or it come? Not so much come about, but what was, like, the whole objective of it? The goal.
Well, the patron.
Yeah, kind of tied in with the daily, I suppose, because it's kind of started simultaneously, right?
I know what you mean. I think patron is something that I, you know, I hadn't really heard of, to be perfectly honest with you, until fairly recently, and I can't remember where the conversation started. Could have been Luke or perhaps Pete. I can't quite remember. But it was just trying to offer that little bit extra for those who quite fancy it. And the reaction we've had from live shows previously would suggest that we might give that a go, and these live shows have affirmed that as well. And I think with the Discord app, for example, it's that community that people quite like. You know, they feel that they've got things in common and all that, and, you know, interact with us and so on and so forth. So it's just that extra layer, if you see what I mean. But of course, if you're happy without it, then you can crack on. But if you want that little bit extra, is there?
Yeah, yeah.
We're
like,
going to change it up and make it better next year, I think, as well.
Okay.
Give people more options, do different stuff, find out what works, what doesn't work, and then kind of adapt it.
Yeah, because you already have, like, five tiers, is it?
I think so, something like that. Yeah,
something, I think it was, like, five tiers. And, like, with the Discord that you mentioned, how does that felt, or like being,
Discord's
like...
really good. That's, like, a really cool, like, chat community that people have really...
Like, a super giant WhatsApp group that, like...
Essentially, that's what it's like. It's good. I always like to dip in there and see what people are saying about the shows and what they're saying about football generally, and there's other subjects on there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of interesting, because it's, like, a real dedicated community to the show, so it's quite a nice place to be, and on the internet you don't always get that, so it's good that it's so positive.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And what he was mentioning, kind of, like, the different ideas, like, to add to, like, doing six shows a week and all kind of with a different twist... I did want to ask about the Blizzard, or the greatest games in association with the Blizzard. What made you come up with that idea, and how have you felt doing it with Jonathan Wilson? I guess no one better to do such a thing than the walking football encyclopedia that Wilson is.
Absolutely, Well, it was an idea from someone at the Blizzard, and it was a good one. And
And I think it was one of those ideas we heard it, and thought, well, this makes sense. You know, I've done stuff with the Blizzard before on stage, and
do like live shows with like Jonathan and stuff. Yeah,
absolutely. And I mean, and Jonathan, you know, he is, as you say, a walking encyclopedia. Not just with football, but with most things.
I know. You just listen to him, it's just like
a lot boring bastard.
But he needs someone to what would it be?
Stroke him?
Yeah, I think that someone to tease it out of him.
I know exactly what you mean. It comes across like that. Like, it really, like, the combination of you two, like him, he has all this knowledge, and you kind of, like, directing him a little bit in a way, kind of guiding him a little
bit. I love working with Jonathan. Mike's is really lucky he gets to work with Jonathan. Because I really enjoy working with him. He's so interesting, and he's funny as well.
He is. Yeah.
And it's just a great experience, because he's always got so much knowledge about stuff. He always learns, like, you go away from it learning something. So whenever I listen to it, I always learn loads. But it must be great for Marcus to work on it with him, because it's just a wicked show.
It is a real privilege. I mean, I think that with Jonathan, he's very much the yin to my yang, and my yang being not very knowledgeable, intelligent. But you know,
well, he's probably not a good person to compare yourself with. Like,
I need to provide intelligence and knowledge, because he provides that. You know, as a wise man once says, you don't buy a dog and then bark yourself. Yeah,
yeah.
But
you need different roles on a show, right? You can't all be falling over each other to do the same thing. That's the problem.
Otherwise, I'd be out of a job on that particular one.
Of course,
But it's been really good actually doing that show. And when you're sitting there, I mean, it's obviously a history of football, but actually, sometimes it's just history mixed in. I mean, the one in the 1936 Olympics, in Austria played Peru. I mean, you're talking about Nazi Germany, essentially, and all that kind of stuff. You know, Netherlands in the 1974 World Cup final.
Yeah.
You know, that game, that has an effect on Dutch people, not everybody, of course, but certain sections of the population, a bit of their psyche and all that kind of stuff. So sometimes it will just be a little bit of a historical lesson, but other times, when we're talking about Fulham 4, Juventus 1, it's a lovely...
It's a labour of love.
It's a very much a labour of love.
It's a busman's holiday.
Yeah.
We'll just be talking about that anyway.
Yeah. It just so happened that they were there, So, it's a passion, you know, when you get to talk about these things. So, that's been a really... that's been a really good one.
Yeah.
The greatest games, I think. And also, as well, some of the journalists, when they come in and talk about games, they're talking about games that they saw when they were a 12-year-old lad.
Yeah.
And they love it. They talk about, oh, my...
It's almost like childlike enthusiasm.
It is, yeah. Well, they're going down memory lane, in perhaps in a way that they've never done before.
Yeah, like with the one Aberdeen against Bayern.
Do you know what? I had that in mind.
With Jonathan Northcroft.
Northcroft, he's a wonderful man. He's genuinely a really, really lovely and brilliant bloke, and he said that actually. He came away and he was just like, oh man, that was great, that was that was like being down the pub again, just but that being uninterrupted, or at least no one sort of saying, alright, hurry up, you know, let's talk about something else.
Okay. Yeah, no, absolutely. I find fascinating how just one game, like, super in depth, like all of that you can get out of it and stuff, and like from like the 20s, the Israel game, I think.
The derby and the Tel Aviv derby, was it?
Yeah,
I mean, that was even... So there are times when we talk about older games, and I'll look at Jonathan and I think, all right, Jonathan, you know, you've written extensively about this game, over to you.
Yeah.
And then maybe he'll sort of look at me, if it's, you know, he said, would you want to come in? We were both looking at each other for the 1920s when the derby started in Israel. And I could see in his eye, he was going... I'm a little bit out of my depth here, and I'm like, you're at your depth.
Yeah.
I can imagine his face, like, getting nervous about it. Yeah, like,
and I'm like, all right, well, it looks like I'm gonna have to steer this thing.
Yeah, no, that was like super, like, you just don't even the concept of it, no one would think to, like, let's do it about this game in Israel from like 100 years ago. Yeah. And also the Blizzard and do the Ramble Meets, which started like before this season, but like, I think really fascinating the terribly interesting array of guests that you've had, like, from journalists at first, like, you did one full hour with Jonathan Wilson, you did one with Michael Cox, and later but also footballers and people like related to football in some sense, but like very unique ones, like Heskey, David Priest, who's kind of like a media, like, how has that been, like, all such an array of different guests?
Well, it's good, and it's interesting to do, and I try and just follow the things that I'm interested in and trust that other people will be interested as well. That's kind of the only way I'll go about it. And then with the football players, or the ex-players mostly, I kind of thought, like, most of the ex-players you see on TV or here on the radio, they're just talking about games they're covering or about current issues. They'll say, oh, like, this has happened this week, let's get an ex-pro to talk about it. Mm. You don't hear an awful or see an awful lot of them talking about their experiences and their careers. And even though they've had the same job, their experiences are always quite different.
Yeah.
So I think I did wonder if it had a bit of a shelf life in terms of players, but actually most of the stories are different because of different ages of players, different clubs, different countries, different experiences. So really there's no more science to it than just following my nose and seeing what I think works. And I try to over prepare for it. I try and let my enthusiasm and my kind of interest sort of lead the way and just go down the road that they lead me down, really. And
yeah,
sometimes that can be terrible. You have to shelve it. Yeah. A lot of time it can work.
No, I think for the big majority it absolutely works. And like
I don't put out the rubbish ones.
That's probably a key.
I think we've seen a different dimension to Luke Moore. Well, not a different dimension. Actually, I think that it's been really good. Luke's done a brilliant job with the interviews and getting a variety of guests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think it's been a real string to the Football Ramble Daily's bow.
Yeah, I hope so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're also quite easy to do because you used to rock up with a couple of time mics.
Yeah,
and you're away. It's not really a huge amount of logistics to worry about.
Yeah, you don't really have to do like a whole ton of prep either. Just kind of like go with the flow of like their stories and stuff. So like I think that. That's really interesting. Last couple of questions I did want to mention too. Also, not a regular every week to week, but I did want to mention what I think is your most unique iteration is at the match with Andy Bressel. Oh, yeah. It's basically a podcast with Andy Bressel going to games somewhere in Europe and just talking with people involved in there and just a show like half an hour. And like I think it's really interesting. And, like getting the live atmosphere and the whole thing. I think it's really like unique show that you've come up with.
Yeah, Andy's he's an incredible man, is Andy.
I think that was mostly Andy's. I mean, you've been on one with him, so you know more about this than me, but I'm pretty sure that's Andy's idea.
Okay.
He had it and he wanted to do it. And
I can see that,
I mean, Andy's just got such a... And he's an incredible man, Andy. He speaks, four different languages? He attends so many games. He knows so much. He's got a knowledge that genuinely is unrivaled. Even the likes of... some of the aforementioned journalists and one or two others are a bit like, well, no, Andy's got this knowledge.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, you ask him if he's seen this Netflix series and that, but he's seen it all. He keeps up with NBA.
Yeah,
he knows his music.
Yeah.
There's no. You'd think, oh, there's got to be a gap here somewhere. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a sort of a little fault line or somewhere. But I've yet to find one. But incredible, and also a father as well. You know, so he's got a family. And but with regards to at the match, I mean, again, it's just a passion project of his. He's great at doing that. And I went to a Ligue 1 game. With him, and it was brilliant. He's got a nice sort of a gentle and friendly approach to Andy.
He's really easygoing and like that.
Yeah, he's very friendly.
Yeah.
The first few, I think it took us a while to find the kind of feel we wanted for it because he had the idea. We gave him the Zoom mic to go away and do it, and he did it. And again, Sam went with him.
Give him the company credit card.
No. But Sam went with him.
Maybe if we did that in full time.
And it took us a while to work out what works best and what kind of footage or kind of audio is best to kind of get and the best types of people to speak to and the amounts of people to speak to. And then we settled on a format after that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the most recent one he's done at the Berlin Derby was really good, really interesting, really atmospheric. So
yeah,
and that's a good thing. That's another example of hopefully the way that we want to do things a bit differently. Because there's not a shortage of people sat around a table talking about football in podcasting, but no one else is doing that kind of thing that Andy's doing, and we're proud to be associated with that, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's like very like, well, courageous in a sense, like to have that idea to like do something so different. A lot of people might not get it first and might think, oh, this is too complicated logistically, or they're maybe not so much into the atmospheric sense, but I think you really have hit the nail on the head with like that specific idea to like really find something new that's really interesting that goes to like these sort of remote places like Berlin, but like really interesting matches. So I think you've really done great with that. And
thank you.
Yeah.
Very nice to us. Tell us what you don't like.
Tell us
what you hate.
He might not be here for a while. Nice work.
And last question to kind of wrap things up. Where do you like after doing, well, it's kind of such a shift in the summer, like doing the going to daily, the Patreon, all this, where do you feel as an entity the Football Ramble can go, like after you've done this for over 12 years now and still have plenty left to go? Where do you hope or expect to kind of take the brand or the, you know, also more in a like creative sense, because like what you do in the end is not just manage it, but also like create all the content that goes into it.
I think the natural step for us is probably, I mean, I don't want to be too ridiculous, but I think form a political party and sort of Brexit out.
I was going to say sell it for $10 million.
If you know a buyer, we are interested. Some Ramble Airways, perhaps. I don't know.
$10 million, you have our word that we'll never do anything again. That's the deal. You give us $10 billion, none of us will ever make a podcast again.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah, I have to talk with the owner of this site magazine.
No. It's a take it or leave it deal now.
Well, okay. I can't. I don't have the power to make that decision to buy you guys out. But
another one who's bottled it.
What are you even here for then? We were told this was a serious meeting.
All right, interview over.
So I think you guys really have set like the mark in that sense.
We're only not even half a season into this new daily thing yet. We'll see what happens with that.
Mm-hmm. Give us a chance, mate.
Maybe there'll be more different shows that will come along for next season, and maybe we'll shuffle out some of the ones that we haven't worked as well, or bring some new ones in, or maybe we'll give another year.
Football calendars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to take those clothes off. Do a chat.
Not all of them. Yeah, I want to keep it elegant still. Yeah.
You leave his hat on.
I keep it classy, you know. Okay. It's been great. Thank you so much for taking the time. I hope a lot of people that probably have never heard of you guys do so for the first time, thanks to this, hopefully.
Who do you support, by the way?
A lot of people ask me this. I don't really support anyone.
Do you know what? You're a bit like me, Fies, but I support Fulham now, so you should support Fulham as well.
Okay, well.
Are you coming to the show tonight?
Yeah, I am. I've just been teams and like that I've become like a fan sort of, but it's more like certain teams of certain years. Like Tottenham with Pochettino has been like interesting.
It does sound a bit like me, to be fair, although I've settled on Fulham the last.
It's one of the things. I've gotten like behind the promoted teams. Do you kind of like when I don't follow Championship as much now because like I didn't have much time, but. But like the rise of like Middlesbrough back a few years ago, Burnley the two times, Brighton was one with Knock Iron and stuff that I thought was really cool to follow and stuff. But after that, I'm just not quite the same fan like other people are, and I always feel weird saying, "Oh, I'm a fan of this team," because I'm not gonna really be there for like low times. So like I just enjoy the whole thing and just also like doing a podcast and writing about the whole league and stuff is something that. I don't have time or a lot of interest to like really like go hard on a team and like really be behind them. So
sounds better than supporting Portsmouth, to be fair. That's the approach I would take.
Well, you did admit, I mean, up to 2008, probably like then you got to made it to Europe, crowds and all those people.
That was near to the start when the football
was
started.
You said that for 2008. You realize Portsmouth was shit.
I know, but
like 5 or 6 year period where they were decent.
Yeah, but you're kind of
used. Then they were
that
decent.
Yeah, but you're kind of used.
Then they effectively cheated.
Yeah,
they fucked up again.
Well, that's the thing. Well, you're kind of used to that, but then you get your hopes up, and then the fall is really steep.
Yeah,
so,
it really is. Yeah.
Well, you're back. Kind of now you're owned by Disney. Like, what more can you ask for? Like, I mean,
sadly, I'm not owned by Disney.
Well, yeah. Almost.
Well, it's a Mickey Mouse.
tomato, like. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, guys, for taking the time. And absolutely. And we'll catch up when we're in the next part of the world again.
Sure. Yeah. Great.
Okay. Great. Thanks. Thank you.
Gracias a Marcus y a Luke de The Football Ramble por su tiempo, por tomarse la molestia y abrirme las puertas de su camerino antes de la actuación en Chicago. Recordad que tenéis un artículo escrito en español sobre la entrevista en lamediainglesa.com y recordad también que si os ha gustado, dadle a me gusta, dadle a like y pasaros por los comentarios. Si vuestra plataforma de podcast os lo permite, suscribiros, compartidlo, el boca a boca, todas esas cosas buenas. Y nada más, por una última vez, yo soy Ander Iturralde, espero que os haya gustado y nos reencontramos en una próxima edición del podcast de La Media Inglesa. Hasta entonces, pasadlo bien.